It's been forever since we've been engaged in this. I think it's only been a couple of weeks. And so I just want to bring some things back to our memory and kind of encourage us and kind of nail down some things in our spirit that not only for our church, but for us as individuals really need to get a hold of. I'm only going to read verse 14 in Ephesians chapter 3, and then we'll turn to John 17 again just to kind of get our feet and our bearing here. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been doing a little topical study here on praying for glory. The Ephesian church, the theme, chapter 3, verse 21, unto Him, that is God the Father, be glory in the church through the Son, Christ Jesus. And not just now, but for how long? All the ages, throughout all ages, world without end, that world that will never cease. Amen. And so there are many future dispensations where we will learn about our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It's going to be amazing to think about that. And so here we have this prayer that's going on in chapter 3, and we have a prayer in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 16, right after he learned of their birth in the Lord, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love in all the saints, Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And what we have here is two separate prayers, but yet they're really united in his prayer for that corporate body. And the reason why that they are united is because in Ephesians 1, Paul is praying that we would be illumined to an understanding of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. Here's the request. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, now here's our key phrase, of who? Of Him, the Son. And verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and then he gives what he's looking for here. He is saying, now church at Ephesus, I know you're saved, but I have this intense passion for you to mature in the things of the Lord. That's really what church is all about. Church is all about God's people coming together, maturing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being conformed into His image, and then we go outside of these doors and we spread the knowledge of God throughout all of our community. God doesn't intend to share things with us so that we are quiet about it. He shares things with us because He wants us to just communicate that, to spread that, to complain that. Thus we do that. Proclaim that all throughout our community. So he's praying for this illumined knowledge, this doctrinal understanding of the person, work of Jesus Christ. And of course that doctrine comes from our Bible. And so we open up our Bibles. It's the mirror through which we see and behold the glory of God. And we see that glory, our eyes are enlightened, our understanding is illumined, and we begin to really comprehend the reality of things, the way things really are. Then in Ephesians 3, you have a different prayer. This isn't so much for doctrinal content to be illumined. What we have here is something different. Look at verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And so what you have in the first one is doctrinal understanding, illumined, enlightened to us. Now Paul says, all right, now I want you to have the might to be able to live out that illumined truth. So you have doctrinal illumination, combine that with spiritual might so that we might actually fulfill the Word of God, to have these words living through us. And I have come to understand more and more as I seek to pursue the riches of His glory and that conformity into His image, to live out the Word takes a strength that can only come from the Spirit of God. If you think that you can live the Christian life and you're doing okay, you're probably not living out the Christian life as defined by the New Testament. Because the New Testament deals with that which is supernatural. And I think a lot of times believing people like to know things about God. They like to analyze God. They like to figure out God. And that's good because you need to pursue Him. But folks, after you've analyzed Him and you've figured Him out and you've seen His way, now He says what? Live it. Live it. And living it is much more difficult. Our dear brother over here, he's always saying, what's your key word you're learning? Trust. Now you think about that. You just think about that one little word, trust. How difficult is that? You say, that is so easy. Wait till you're in Brother Jeremy's situation. And you're praying for daily bread. Now think about that. How much trust do you think you have in your spirit? I'm going to tell you where I'm at with that. Not a lot. I got a lot of anxiety. I got a lot of complaint. I got a lot of worry. But rest and trust, different situation. Or someone says, you know, I'm a patient guy. Right. You think so? Do you think you need God's power to be patient? You say, I'm doing okay. Well, you're not really under situations that are forcing you to be patient. And folks, we can just go on and on. How much power and might does it take to love your enemy? Now think about that. How many of us know we're supposed to love our enemies? You've read it, right? Okay? You got it. You got the doctrinal understanding. Now God says, go do it. You say, I forgot that verse when I chewed that guy out. He says, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you so that you may be like your Father which is in heaven. Or let's take a last one. How hard is it to rejoice when you're being persecuted? Jesus said, when they treat you like this, leap for joy. I don't have that, do you? I don't know if I'd be leaping for joy if I was in a prison cell in China. See, folks, this is what we're talking about. We're just not talking about, I read those words. Those are nice words. I bet those are for Jeremiah or Elijah or Peter or Paul. Those words are for us. And those words need to be living out of us. And the only way that's going to happen is if, first of all, we're praying for our corporate body so that we might have the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. But we don't stop there. Now we say, strengthen us with your power in our inner man so that we might be able to do these types of things. And it's great because when it happens, you get on your knees and you say, thank you, Lord. Because you're showing everybody that the Lord really is alive. So you got knowledge plus might or power, and that's what it's all about because the Bible calls that eternal life. Now go back to John 17:3 and we'll conclude here. It's a lot of talk in fundamentalism about life, revival. What does it look like? How would you know if a church has it? Okay? Everybody's looking for life in their church. Well, there's two kinds of life. There's a temporal life out there and there's eternal life. Well, I want to see eternal life functioning here in our corporate body. So John 17:3. All right, what is eternal life? What is it? What does it say? To know Thee, the only true God, and the Son, right? Okay, now note in the passage, knowing, that's knowledge. Where's Paul praying for that in Ephesians? Chapter 1 or chapter 3? Chapter 1. All right? The knowledge of the only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Jesus calls that eternal life. Okay? Where is he praying for the life to be manifest in Ephesians? Chapter 1 or chapter 3? Chapter 3, when he says, strengthen with might in your inner man. God's own might inside of you. And those two things together is the life that we're wanting. We're wanting the knowledge of God living. Now, here was a shocking thing to me when I realized this. If what I know about God isn't living through my life, I don't really know God as I ought. In other words, the knowledge of God just isn't, okay, here's Bible trivia. I'll be able to answer those questions. I won! No, genuine knowledge of God lives. It's not dead. It's just not academic, dry. It lives inside of you. And so those two things together, what you really want to know is, just like Brother Jeremy said here, he said, God is, what did he say? Sovereign. You believe that? You think God's in control? All right. The Lord will test that. And he's not testing that to say, look how unbelieving you are. He's testing it so that we will know how we need to grow. And I love what he said. He said he's been spending all day listening to sermons about he's seeking the illumination so that he would be strengthened in his inner man to be able to handle this. And folks, even with that, I don't know, but you know, Jeremy's flesh and blood, I bet he's struggling with this. Would you be? I would be. And so, brethren, it's not enough just to, as it were, analyze God, to kind of nitpick God so that you just know certain things. No, that Word must live through us. And that's what Paul's praying for that church. He's praying that their doctrinal understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ would be enlightened and illumined. And he was praying, secondly, that they would have the power of God strengthening in their inner man so that they would know certain things and so that would exude through their life in the decisions, in the things they say, in how they conduct their life, where they go, everything about them. Both those two things together and you live. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, thank you.